Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whoosh.
All right, honky tonk.
Wow, that was like a really fast car, like say a Citroën or something passing by me on an aero.
Passat. A VW Passat. See, anyway, you're looking well.
Thank you. Thank
How's
you
your health?
You've lost a bit of weight, haven't you?
Do you think?
Yeah, not from your body, unfortunately. No, you've lost weight. I can see it in your face.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I didn't have any booze on Tuesday night, so it could be that.
Yeah. You lost a, what if you lost an ounce?
Possibly.
Last night I meant to be 12.1 and I came in at 12.1 and a half. I had a really long Chadwick. Can I call it a Chadwick? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds all right. And it took me, everyone knows what you're talking about.
And it weighed a quarter of a pound. My night tinkles it was a quarter of a pound last night.
Couple of questions.
Thank you.
First of all, why do you need to be 12.1?
Well, I think I look good at 12.1. I think I look
the
business.
It's optimum weight, is it?
Yeah. And
secondly, yeah. Fair enough, we'll move on from that. Secondly, how did you wear your Chadwick?
I went back on the scales and I'd lost quarter of a pound, so I put that down.
Oh, you did some, like, simple maths.
Yeah.
Figured it out that way.
I subtracted a Chadwick from 12 and one quarter and a half Chadwicks.
You have done it into a jug and then weighed the jug.
No. I'm perfectly willing to do that if you're interested in the weight.
I don't know what it was in millilitres.
I tell you what. Let's weigh our Chadwicks, our night tinklings, on Sunday evening.
Well, it's something to talk about next week, isn't it?
Yeah, something to drink as well if we get a thirst on.
Sunday night as well.
Yeah,
and if I've been out on Saturday night, yeah. You know, all bets are off.
Sunday is Jesus' day, actually. Is it right to have a wee competition on Jesus' day?
No, I don't think it is. It's a bit disrespectful.
What do you want to do, Monday? It's Friday.
We'll do Monday.
Do Monday night. Monday night is piss night.
It's on. Right, so have you got a name for us this week then?
Well, you can always have Ronnie Hot Dog. You know, that's yours. That's safe, Andy. You know, that's safe, Ronnie Hot Dog. But as the winter isn't so far away, you could be Ronnie Hot Pot if you want. Do you know what? What about Mr. Huff and Puff?
I like it. It sounds jolly, but it also sounds like the kind of thing you'd call someone who's quite fat.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So what do you reckon?
I'd stick with Ronnie Hot Dogs, I reckon.
All right, Ronnie Hot Dogs, lovely to see you again. Lovely to see you again. How can I help
you? Do you want to tell our listeners what you've been up to today then?
Well, I've been filming a comedy show called
You've
Drifters.
Been doing some acting, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing some acting.
Proper acting.
I am the worst. Well, I don't know. I've always thought and been quite proud of the fact that I was the worst actor, UK actor.
Yeah. Right.
But do you know the fellow who plays Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah. Is he worse than you?
Well, what do you think?
I've not seen any of the Potter films, I don't know.
Have you not seen any of his acting?
I've not seen a thing that he's done, that. So what part did you play? I imagine you'd probably play, like, maybe he's a sickly prisoner.
No, I play
Someone who's, like, on remand for rubbing himself on a bus.
Oh, God. No, Andy, I play a really responsible, loving father. Of a daughter, a slightly wayward daughter. The show's called Drifters. It's in its fourth series. I'm surprised that you haven't watched it. You know, say, see how Bob's getting on in that show.
I didn't know you were in it, to be honest. I've never heard of it. What channel's it on?
It's on E4. It's for people under, what, under 28 or something like that.
Under 12s.
Ah, yeah. No, it's So I'll try and give you one of my lines. Here's one of my lines I did today.
Christ.
Well, I am disappointed. Look,
sorry, but it's everyone. Sorry, no, go on. No, nothing. Didn't see anything.
I was trying to act then, Andy.
Sorry.
I was in the middle of it. Right, even so, you've never been on fucking film set in your life. You must know that you don't speak when someone's acting. Okay.
Carry on.
Tell you what, you say action. Right. You have to say action.
Now.
Fucking action. Say action. Well, I am disappointed. Look, if you want to go and arse around in some piss-soaked mud listening to DJ Spooky Tooth, that's fine by me. And say cut.
Cut.
Yeah, that was
good.
That was
pretty good line, that. So obviously you haven't written the show, you're just in it.
I'm just in it, yeah. I didn't write it, yeah.
Good, very good. Can I assume as well that you're not going into the Celebrity Big Brother house?
No, I'm not going in.
Seeing as you're here talking to me now.
Well, Renate from Mob Wives, anyone who's bothered listening to this before will know, I've recommended you watch Mob Wives.
Yeah, still
I think you'd enjoy her a lot.
Is she going into Big Brother?
No, did you ask me if there are sheep going into Big Brother?
No, I said, is she going into it?
Yeah,
Renate.
She's in it.
Is she?
Renate. And you got Beth from the
Is Renate the one who talks like this?
Yeah. And notices stuff. So look, Andy, this is getting to... You know I don't want to be here tonight. I've been filming all day and I've been stuck on the M25.
Right.
You're a bit pissed. I can see.
Yeah, obviously.
San Miguel or whatever it is. How can I help you today anyway?
Well, I don't know. I've got some football news.
Let's start off with the
football news. The only story I found this week is the story of the Spanish midfielder Javier Hervas, who signed for Bosnian side FK Zeljnica Sarajevo. For them a couple of days afterwards. Him and his wife were out in the street walking their dog, and they get set upon by a pack of stray dogs in the middle of the street. Mrs. Hervas says, "Fuck this, we're off." And he's cancelled his contract.
Has he?
Because they got hassled by some dogs.
I have a certain sympathy with it.
Well,
do you know what I mean? There's a certain freedom of thinking there, a certain free spirit.
The game's gone to bits, hasn't it, when that sort of thing happens? What about the sanctity of the contract?
Pogba, 20 million, 21 million quid for the agent.
Is that what he gets?
£21 million. So what would you spend, 21 million?
I think I'd probably buy Merton. The town of Merton.
Town of Merton?
Yeah.
Are they looking for a new owner?
Well, I think the sheriff disappeared a few weeks ago in suspicious circumstances, so I think it's prime for a takeover.
You'd make a really good sheriff, you, Andy.
I'd be the best sheriff in history.
Would you have two guns or just one on the right?
I'd have two. And I'd spin them on each index finger, shamelessly.
And where would you wear your badge, right in the middle or to the left?
Left-hand side.
Classic cowboy
not
sheriff.
Not the middle. What kind of sheriff wears a badge in the middle? A cartoon
One who's edging his bets, you know what I mean?
What does that mean?
Well, the badge is a kind of shield, isn't it?
Oh, you reckon it's going to cover his heart in case he gets shot?
Yeah. Well, most people would aim at the middle of the chest, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah. But in Merton, they might be a bit cockeyed because they're always pissed.
All right.
So that's why you put it on the left. Another reason why I quite like to take over.
Well, if I had 21 mil, I'd buy such a big bell.
Right.
I'd go to the bell factory.
Yeah.
I'd say, what size bell could you give us for 21 mil? Actually, I'll tell you what, I'll spend 21 and a half mil on it, and I'll get a little, so my wife isn't upset, I'll get her a littler bell. So I'll get a 21 million and a half million pound bell.
Yeah.
And a half million pound bell.
For someone who claims that he's not a millionaire, I'm wondering where this extra half a million's come from for the extra bell.
No, I'm saying if I had 21 million because I was Paul Pogba's agent.
Yeah, if you had 20, so you've spent 21 million on your bell, and then you've just suddenly pulled out another half a million for a bell for your wife.
No, I'm not Paul Daniel. I didn't pull anything out of anywhere. I said, oh no, hold your horses. I'll spend 500,000 on another bell for the wife.
Right.
Anyway, McLaren, I'd hear what happened with
that. Change the subject. I'll come back to the millionaire stuff later.
Thank you. Steve McLaren, been a big week for Steve because you know who's been in touch with him?
No, who?
Well, think about what's happened in England manager-wise.
Sam Allardyce.
Your fella, Sam Allardyce, has been in touch. wanted to chat about how he felt, you know. It was actually before he took the job. Do you think I should take it, Steve? And so he invited him round the house. But the fat lass, Steve's fat lass, right, she's always had a thing about Sam. So Steve isn't really that keen on having him round.
And does Steve know about this?
You know, Steve knows that she's got a thing about Big Sam. So Big Sam phones up and says, can I come round and have a chat about stuff? About the England job.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really, he's a bit reluctant, you know, because of the fat lass. But as soon as she found out about it, she insisted, said, we'll have a barbecue, right? So he comes round.
A peacekeeping barbecue.
Nah, I know why she did it. I don't know why I'm whispering.
All right.
But she knew if she just did a classic beans on toast in the kitchen, Steve would just say, right, that's great. Thanks, love. Off you go. Look after Casper. You go, you know. But she knew, do you know, the garden's like always accessible. So she could, you know, flit about saying, everything all right, Sam?
Just a bit of a sachet here and there.
Yeah.
Was she wearing a flappy sort of summer dress?
Hey, well, you might find out about that later.
Barefoot.
So they go outside for the barbecue and he shows him his veg plot. He says, you know, it's Big Sam, there's my tomatoes, spuds, peas and all that. He's quite proud of it. But the fat lass she's hovering about comes out with the excuse where she's got a great big pan of baked beans and loads of toast, which what she done actually, she pierced the toast onto Steve's samurai sword that he keeps above his bath. So there was I think it was about 38 pieces of toast. And it's like made it more, but what she said was, he's a fun starter, Steve, so I'll put the toast on your sword. Didn't I give him a knife and fork, by the way, Andy, if you were thinking about it. She just gives him a big, like a wooden spoon each, because she reckons that's a good outdoor fun way to eat your baked beans. So anyway, Sam says, so tell us about, he speaks a bit like that, doesn't he? How does Sam speak?
Like that, yeah. But like this.
He says.
Oh, for East End London.
Oh, is he Londoner?
I think he is, isn't he? Says,
so he comes, he says, so Sam says, tell us about this England job, right? And so Steve tells him about his experience. Meanwhile, Fat Lass has been drinking them coffee martinis. Do you know them? Very popular drink. The coffee martini.
Espresso coffee martini.
You give it a go. Then she's a bit tipsy. So she goes inside, gets Casper, right? And starts doing like a fat dance with it on the lawn. Do you know, like a belly dance thing to try and impress... Yeah. And whenever you do dancing, Andy, you're doing a fat dance. Would you agree?
Oh, right, because I'm fat.
Yeah.
So by definition, it's a fat dance.
Tell me what's wrong with that logic.
Dance, pal.
No, but and I'm sure you're a beautiful dancer. I'm sure you can recreate fucking thunderstorms with your dance, but you'll still be doing a fat dance.
fair enough.
I should be honest, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a lot fatter than Andy, so it's not really fair of me. So, to cut a long story short, she ends up collapsing with the coffee martinis. Yeah, Casper nicks off into the veg patch, slips off, and she's just laid there prostrate. About 20 minutes later, Steve says, oh, Sam, go and pick us a corn cob. Help me, let's cook a corn cob on the barbecue.
It sounds improbable, and yet I'm hooked.
It's the best veg to barbecue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the corn cob. So Sam goes in, sees the yellow gleaming there amongst the foliage, tugs at it. You've guessed it. It's not a corn cob, it's Casper the snake, yeah? So Casper opens his eyes, staring straight at Sam, thinks it's a bear. And he would, wouldn't you? Thinks it's a bear, spews up, right? But it was quite a funny one for Steve because Sam had him facing upwards and he did like a fountain all the way onto the prostrate fat lass.
An arc.
You know,
of spew.
An arc, thank
across
you.
Across the garden.
Andy. Across the garden, soaked the fat lass. And I'm going to stop here because you've heard enough about Steve, but she's in love with Sam, right?
Yeah.
And Sam seeing her like that, she was so upset. I mean, he put the Poirot tape on for her and he put it on loud later in the night, so she knew he was watching it, but she didn't come down.
Right.
She didn't come down, so a really bad day that was for Steve.
That's a tenterhooks kind of thing, that, isn't it?
Well, I
did. Next?
You've guessed, yeah, well, there is next. That wasn't the end of the night. I'll tell you next week, God. Andy.
That's a two-parter.
So, yeah, it's a two-parter. It could even be a three-parter, the way things are going on. Now the lawyers are involved.
Oh, my God. Listen, do you want to establish your credentials as a memory man?
Again?
Yeah.
Do you not think... Go on then, yeah. Is it football or what is it?
I'm going for a different topic. I'm going for television. Television
history.
Okay,
well, I'm not... Okay, well, the credentials I'm trying to establish is I'm not bad on television for the last 30 years. That's as far as I'll go.
You'll be all right with this, then. All right, listen, memory man.
Yep.
Do you remember the name of the actor who played the dad in Different Strokes?
Oh, the American one.
Do you remember the dad? Tall fella.
Yes. Yes, I do. I do, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nothing get past you. And Different Strokes probably started, what, 79? So that's outside of your 30-year comfort zone. And yet,
but
you've come through.
Lucky. Yeah.
Do you remember Captain Pugwash in the 1970s? Do you remember all them rude names they had? What we didn't know about because we were only little? You remember? Master Bates?
Yeah.
Wanky Jack? Johnny Big Cox? Do you remember? Do you remember that? Do you remember 1982?
Yeah.
Do you remember it? It was like 1981, but a bit newer. Wasn't it? Wasn't that funny?
Yeah. Have you ever noticed this, Andy, right? Have you? Hey, come on. Here,
hey.
Listen up. Hey. Have you ever noticed, you know, people, the modern day thing, people going for a kiss and you don't know which side to go to, right? So you think, oh
that is modern.
Like, so you go for handshake instead, right? And your brass hand gets caught on in the privates. Have you ever noticed that?
Yay!
Have you ever noticed, right, you're in your coffin, right? You never noticed this. Do you remember coffins? Remember coffins?
Yay!
Have you ever noticed? Yay! You're in your coffin, but you're not dead. You know, one of them things. But you're in your coffin. So you try to bang on the casket, but they've taken off your brass hand, right? So they can't hear you. You noticed that?
Yay!
Thank you. I'm going to try. Can I try a remember? Do you remember one?
Go on then. It's usually my territory, but go on, have a go.
Do you mind? Hey. Do you remember that really hot summer we had when there was loads of flying ants and that? Is that any good?
Yay.
Is that any good?
It's pretty weak, to be honest.
All right. Is that because you didn't remember it or... Just because it wasn't.
Well, I remembered
nice
it, but it usually only happens for one deer, the flying ant thing. It's not a whole summer.
Right. Do you remember when buckets were wooden? Right.
Yeah.
Would that work, or is it nah, not really?
That's all right. It's all right, but you know, there's not a lot of meat on the bone there, is there?
You have to add a detail to it, like.
Yeah, there's got to be something about the bucket. Because I did 1982 and said why it was funny, because it was like 1981, but newer. But you kind of just said, do you remember when a thing was a thing?
So if I said, Jay, do you remember when buckets were wooden? Right, so that's the first bit, yeah? So yeah. They're plastic now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's good.
See? Thank
that's
you,
quality.
You told me something there. Thank you.
Very good.
They're plastic now, aren't they?
That could be your catchphrase, that. You just stick that on the end of anything.
I love this observation stuff, innit?
Well, what was it, my catchphrase? So-called football podcast. What was the what?
What was my catchphrase? You're right. What was it? The plastic now. Is that it?
The plastic now, though. That's good. That's a keeper.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you been doing anything? You vaguely promised me you might have another go at your sock with the air dryer. Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah, I did, because you gave me some advice. You, sir, are a fucking genius.
Thank you.
Because what you said was to leave the tray slightly open because there was obviously just circulating damp hot air around. Wasn't drying the sock. Done it again, put a sock in 5 minutes, 180 degrees, left the tray slightly open.
Right.
A bit of air to come in and out.
Yeah.
Dry as a bone in 5 minutes.
You fuck off.
Or maybe he's exaggerating a bit. Not dry as a bone. One or two slight damp patches still on there, but they're dry with your body heat once the sock's on. You know? But five minutes, job done.
What material was this sock? It's you, so it's some sort of plastic. What, polypesterine?
Polyurethane, I think.
You know what I mean? Or was it wool or was it man made?
Well, it was a Star Wars sock.
It's probably a bit of both, isn't it?
Sort of been made in the factory.
Maybe a bit of cotton in the heel. Do you think you might ever try putting some of your knickers in, see if they're dry?
Shall I have a go at that next?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
And instead of just wetting them with water, I'll put them in some soup.
There's no need to do that.
Maybe some carrot and coriander soup.
No, that's not the point. I'm not asking if your air fryer can stuff. I'm asking if it can dry things.
But I'd like to.
Hold on. If you want to clean stuff, surely we can think of something. Is there not another bit of household equipment, apart from the fucking washing machine, of course, that you could try and wash your socks with? Do you think you could do it in a coffee machine? In a coffee machine, or maybe?
I'm not sure how.
What about if you put the soup on it, put it in your freezer, and then take a hammer to it? Nah.
No, I like that. I'll do that.
You try and do that
just to see what happens. So knickers dredged in soup, preferably carrot and coriander, then put in the freezer, and then took outdoors and smashed up with a hammer.
Yeah, and I video it for us as well.
I'll YouTube that as well. Yeah.
What I think I'll do is I think I'll try and clean some of my knickers in my coffee percolator.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I know that hasn't excited you, but I'm going to give it a go.
So I'll tell you what, we'll do that Tuesday.
Okay.
Monday night, we're with Chadwick's. Tuesday night, we'll get stuck in
our knickers. This is typical of you. We're not weighing our Johnsons. Chadwick's is our final evening tinkering. We're not weighing our privates. I don't want to be associated with that. We'll do it straight after Big Brother on Monday.
Right. Listen, I've got some questions for you from me blood relatives.
All right.
About your lifestyle. Right, Bob, it's almost Halloween.
Isn't it?
Yeah, when the kids come round trick-or-treating, do you offer them a selection of chocolate delicacies from the Swiss range, or do you get one of your servants to fire hot oil into their faces from his turret at the edge of your grounds?
I don't have any servants, so obviously not. I do offer the local children a selection of cheap sweets, you know, Haribos and little eels and stuff, you know, little jelly eels and all that. So the answer is I participate, but I don't use any slaves in the process. Mm. It's all right.
If that's what you're saying, that's all right. I'm not going to delve any deeper into that. Bob, it's almost bonfire night.
Yes.
Do you have a bonfire in your garden on bonfire night, just around the back of the orchard? And do you make it from furniture that you've confiscated from the houses of the tenants in the 50% of Stockton that you own?
I don't have a bonfire. And to be honest with you, Andy, I didn't like, you know, like if I was having a bonfire, I wouldn't have it right near my apple trees, would I? Do you think
sounds
I would?
Sounds like you've learned that the hard way.
So, no, I do personally let off about 10 fireworks for my kids on bonfire night, but I don't have an actual bonfire.
How much do you spend on the fireworks, Bob?
It does have a centrepiece. It does have a... Sorry, what was that?
It does have a
What are you saying? It does have
about
a centrepiece.
£500.
Well, it does have the final firework 10 or 8 or whatever it might be. Probably does cost about £75. But yeah, spectacular.
£75.
Have I answered your question? No bonfire.
Bob, final question. It's almost Christmas. Can you confirm or deny that you have an ice rink set up round the back of your orchard on that massive expanse of land you've got there? And do you let the alderman, and only the alderman, break the rules and go around on his big fat arse instead of on ice skates?
Well, I don't have an ice skate. I don't think that bit of land by me orchard could accommodate one, actually. Or overcome.
I've seen it on Google Earth, it can. Me and you know that it can.
All right, I don't have an ice rink. Having said that, should the alderman pop round and want to skate, yes, I'm perfectly happy if he was to freeform in his style. Perfectly happy.
And would you let anybody else freeform, or just the alderman?
Well, alderman. Just the alderman, to be honest with you.
Just the alderman. Everyone else has got to use blades.
Yeah, well, there's a safety factor, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know nothing about ice rink etiquette?
So the alderman gets to bend the rules.
Yeah, I saw the alderman this week, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Do you want to know about it? I'm not bothered if you don't.
No, cool, let's have it.
Well, I don't know if the viewers know, but I've just come back from America, which is the United States of America, I should say. I went to Palm Springs visiting breweries because have I told you I'm going to become a brewer?
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah, but it's not really very interesting stuff. I'll just move you on from that. That's okay. Palm Springs, the millionaire playpen, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it is.
Who else was there? Like Richard Branson?
No, but,
Jack Whitehall.
I flew first class, actually. And, you know, where you get your own bed and all that. And I tell you who was on there with me in the same flight was Simon Pegg from Star Trek. You know Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
A chap called Biffy Clyro. Do you know Biffy Clyro? He's a rock star, pop star.
Is he? I thought that was a group.
No, I think there is an actual Biffy.
One of them's called Biffy.
Yeah, I think the lead singer is Biffy, and for Biffy
Clyro. Are
you
not thinking of Bitty McLean?
No, definitely not. One who plays for West Brom. Anyway, and also
the 90s.
Mike and the mechanic, Mike out of Mike and the Mechanics, you know, Mike Rutherford. Right. Remember him? So I thought, I mean, this has nothing to do with the alderman, but I thought to myself, you know, fuck me if I'm not going to at least I'm going to involve myself with these three. Do you know what I mean? So I sat next to Sarge.
Hang on. Was the Mechanics on with him? Or were they in standard
class? No, it was just Mike. It was just Mike, and he was with three women who were identical to look at, but older, you know, different ages, But right. if you cut through them, you'd only know because you'd have to cut into them to count the rings. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because they looked
identical. Russian dolls,
anyway.
Then.
There's nothing like Russian dolls. To be honest with you, I'm more like a tree, Andy. That's the point I was making. So
it's getting late. I think you should get on with the story.
Sorry, of course I will. Yeah. So Biffy, by the way, I sat next to Simon, and he told me to watch a film about some kid who had special powers. And here's a bit of airline gossip for you. He declined to have the in-flight meal, Simon. Nothing really? Funny there, just a little bit of gossip for you. Biffy just stood up throughout most of the flight, just like drawing on himself, you know, with a pen.
That's rock stars for you, isn't it?
And Mike, from Mike and the Mechanics, he went to the toilet 3 times, Andy, but his stride pattern and speed of approach to the toilet was identical every time. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's a musician in a minute.
That's a well-regulated man, that.
Yeah, so anyway.
That's a man who's travelled first class a lot of times. He's confident, he's comfortable, he knows who he is, what he is and where he's going and why he's going there for a Chadwick.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind. It makes me want to collect this stuff. I wouldn't mind having little test tubes with tinkerings in, like Mike and the Mechanics, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Do you know the woman from Middlesbrough does business news on the BBC in the mornings?
Big Steph.
Steph, yeah. But anyway,
she with the test tube.
anyway,
not that the
right?
others wouldn't.
well, Mike would. Well, Mike's. I think given the pattern, the science of it all, he probably does an identical volume every time. Do you know what I mean? I don't know about 33 cl.
Boring.
Anyway, so there's a bloke next to me in the bed next to me. Yeah, you have like little barriers between you and your little cubicles. There's some bloke next to me, wife's next to me on the other side. Yeah, and I've got a lovely stewardess, right? Pretty big lass. Do you know the ones that are pretty big, pretty masculine, but then they have their hair in a bun? And there's big, thick specs. So, like, they're a bit retro. And anyway, she wasn't particularly feminine, but anyway, so... Yes, I've got to get on with this because I've got to get back I've got to get over to Big Brother. So, anyway, in first class, Andy, you have a little screen you can pull out, yeah? I'm watching this movie Simon Pegg has said I should watch about a kid with special powers.
I'll just take your word for it, yeah.
And suddenly a box comes up, goes ping, and it says, "Hello, you've been invited to live chat. Would you like to chat to the person in seat 11A? This is true, Andy. So I think it's the wife, obviously. It's the wife, obviously. So you have to respond, and I'm in seat 10. I said, seat 10, yes, would like to have a chat with you. And... it said, "Would you like to have a kiss?"
You thought it was the wife, obviously.
So it's the wife, obviously, in seat 11A. And so I said, "Hello," typed it in. You type it in and send, yeah? And it's the wife. So I said, "You see Mike the mechanic out of Mike and the Mechanics, he's on his way to the bogs again," yeah? Just for fun to the wife.
Yeah.
And then I get the answer back, "Do you fancy a kiss?" So I don't just get up and snug the wife. I type back in, "Ooh, you cheeky. Do you know what I mean? Cheeky thing. And I climb up over the little divide to approach the wife. She's fast asleep. She's fast asleep, and it hadn't been her I'm talking to. So I thought she was in... Well, no, I'm in seat 10. She was in seat 11, and it was seat 9. I just presumed it was the wife. So I'm a bit up looking, and as I sit down, the bloke I mentioned, he was next to me, pops his head over his little barrier, and he says, "I'm waiting for my kiss," right? Do you know who it is? Who is it? Can you guess who it is?
Is it the alderman?
No, it's not.
No.
So who's it going to be? It's a fucking town clerk, isn't it?
Town clerk's
up there, yeah.
So pissing all over the alderman's patch.
I said, "What are you doing on the flight?" No, I was not angry. I wasn't like, what are you doing on the flight? Just a bit shocked, like, well, what are you doing on the flight?
Yeah, a bit.
And he says, excited. I'll tell you what I'm doing. Yeah. And he says, I'll tell you what I'm doing. He says, I'm waiting for my kiss. So I said, oh, fuck, man. So I think, well, just get a little quick peck in, keep him happy. And I quite fancied it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the town clerk's a good looking fella, Andy. I'm not.
I've seen him. I've been on his website. Yeah.
Not, what do you think?
Very photogenic.
Yeah.
Very, very smooth skin.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
Definitely worth a kiss. So just as I lean towards him, there's a little bit of turbulence, right? And I hear, you know, the tannoy, beep, boo. Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of turbulence, and beep, boo. And then it goes, Robert, sit down.
Oh, no.
How dare you prefer to kiss mid-flight during turbulence? And I look up, Andy, and it wants, you know, my stewardess. Yeah. Wasn't the stewardess took wig off?
Didn't sound like a stewardess.
No, it's fucking alderman.
Jesus
the
Christ.
Alderman. And you'll say, oh, yeah, this sounds a bit contrived, isn't it? So there's loads of kids in economy walk through, kiss the alderman, they shout, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman. The alderman and the town clerk are taking the daft kids. You know, these kids without much of a future.
Right.
Yeah.
To Disney so World.
Like, they're taking the dreary reads or dreary kids over at fucking Universal, is it, over there?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. So they're chanting, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman. So I lean in again. Wife pops up. Robert? What is going on, Robert? During this flight, Robert? There's nothing I can say, Andy. What can I say? I'm about to kiss the alderman, basically. He scurried
off. You can't even escape, can you? You cannot even run away.
No, he scurried off, right? And he sat next to Biffy, started drawing on Biffy's face for him.
Yeah.
And he spent the rest of the flight with Biffy. Actually, I was a bit jealous of having a right laugh.
Right.
Sorry, I've gone on about. So, yeah, another failed kiss incident with the alderman. Just thought you might like to know that.
It's getting complicated. Now that the town clerk's stuck his oar in.
Hey, I wouldn't mind kissing the crier. Kiss the crier. Kiss the crier.
Ooh.
Wouldn't mind that.
I haven't got a song. Have you got one?
I've got a Scottish one, but it's not very funny.
Well, and then if it's not funny, I'll edit it out afterwards, all right?
You promise me if it's not funny.
I will, yeah. If it's rubbish, I'll edit it out, yeah.
I ain't got a tune really or anything. It's one of my Scottish ones.
Do you do it as a rap?
I'll just have to do it like as a dirge, you know, like just... like.
All right, yeah,
Anyway. This is the tale of Michael Mowbray, a man born and bred... Sorry. This is the tale of Michael Mowbray, a man born on a bed of scouring powder and be hidden of a heart of pure stone. On his 18th birthday, he announced a barn dance. The price of admission included a free artisan hamburger and an amusing badge. The whole island came, apart from Harry McKay, who had a trumpet stuck up his arse from efforts to blow out an unruly tod. You've got to stick with it, Andy. You'll get rid of it if it's shit, won't you? Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
An unruly tod, an unruly tod. On the count of midnight, Michael Mowbray called for silence. Hey, you bastards, he growled. You know those artisan hamburgers? Aye, we do, Michael. Well, they were near artisan, but frozen ones from Aldi on the mainland. The more fragile in the audience dropped to their knees in pain, whilst those of a firmer bollock twisted their faces in temper. But Michael just smiled as he left the barn and tossed a flaming truncheon into its belly. 80 lives were lost. 80 lives were lost. 80 lives were lost. and now only Michael and Mr. McKay reside on that godforsaken island. And what about Mr. McKay's difficult Todd? And what about Mr. McKay's difficult Todd? It fell out exactly 1 year to the night of the barn dance and is now kept in a box with various other difficult items. With various other difficult items. Oh, that's it, Andy, I'm sorry.
Right.
Just nip it out or whatever.
I'll edit it out, yeah. Also, we had some animal questions from Twitter today. Thanks for everyone who sent them in. We haven't had time. We'll do them next week.
Rightio. As a pretend ending, as it were, I'll say. Right, so that's it, Andy. Don't forget to do your tinkering and to try and clean your sock in there. Yep. Thank you, Andy. I'm
pants.
Off.
Have you not got a song for us this week, Bob?
Genius. No, I forgot to do one. I'll do an extra long one next week.
Never
mind. I'll do extra
one. Hey, we'll do one next week. Brilliant.
Thank you, Andy.
Cheers,
see ya.
Bob.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The plastic now, aren't they?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.